What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, HIPAA and FERPA for Athletic Trainers with Jeff Hopp. Jeff told me that he is the expert on HIPAA and FERPA. If there's anything you need to know about HIPAA and FERPA, then you can contact Jeff and he can get you straight right away. Isn't that what you told me, Jeff?
I don't think that's quite what I said, but I'm going to do my best.
All right. So I just made that up, obviously. Jeff is joining us. He is at Marietta High School in Marietta, Georgia, but he does know a good bit about HIPAA and FERPA. And it has been a question that has come up on the secondary schools Facebook group quite a few times. People asking, is this okay? Is this a violation? They're confused about which one applies to the high school setting, which one applies to the hospital setting, which one applies to someone that is employed by the hospital and what works at the high school. So we're going to get that cleared up with Jeff here today. I'm your host, Jeremy Jackson. This conversation is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/HIPAA. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/HIPAA with Jeff Hopp. All right. So Jeff, first real quick, let's get your athletic trainer story. How did you get to where you are right now?
Probably like a lot of athletic trainers. I played sports in high school, dealt with a couple injuries, worked with an athletic trainer, piqued my interest. Graduated from Mankato State University up in Minnesota. Was fortunate enough that the Minnesota Vikings did training camp there. So I spent a year with the Minnesota Vikings. Switched over to NFL Europe. Was the head athletic trainer in NFL Europe for 3 years. And then came down here to Georgia, got to know some physicians down here, worked for a physician for about 7 years. Doing high school outreach. So I've been on the outreach side of things. And then a position opened up here at Marietta High School, kind of an ideal situation. Not as common as it is down in Texas, but I'm athletic trainer at the high school with no teaching responsibility. So I've been here for almost 16 years now.
You said almost 16 years?
Yes, sir.
Very cool. NFL Europe, Minnesota Vikings. Very good. All right, so you have been in some different settings. So we want to start off with some working definitions of HIPAA and FERPA. So why don't you give me a working definition of HIPAA?
So HIPAA is the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. Essentially, it's protecting patients' information when you're working with healthcare providers.
All right, so protecting the privacy of healthcare information when you're working with healthcare providers.
Correct.
Okay, now FERPA.
FERPA is the Family Education Rights and Privacy Act. FERPA applies to all records collected by a school on their students, and it protects that and guides how that can be shared between people in the education setting.
Okay. So HIPAA is dealing with healthcare professionals, and we are healthcare professionals, but you and I both work at the school. So we'll go with that setting, and then we'll cover some of the others. So when does HIPAA apply for you?
So for me, and for you as well, we primarily fall under FERPA because we are employed by the school. We are school employees that are working with athletes and with students from the school setting. Most high schools are not billing for their services. I think there probably are some out there, but most are not. So if you're not billing for your medical services and you are employed by the school, then you're going to fall under FERPA guidelines.
All right. So if you're not billing for your services, you're working for the school, you're probably going to fall under FERPA.
Correct.
Right. So we don't bill at our school. I know that there's the kind of the push for having your MPI number and keeping records, those kind of things, so you can show the value. But that's not specifically what we're talking about. We're not talking about what is the value of your service. We're talking about actually billing through insurance for your services.
Right. We're talking about actually, you know, recording your services and then turn around billing that patient's healthcare provider or their health insurance for those services. And like I said, I'm sure there's probably some high schools out there. I know colleges are starting to do it. So some high schools may be doing it, but I would bet by far, you know, the majority of high schools are going to fall. If the athletic trainer is employed by the school, they're going to fall under FERPA because they're not going to be billing for their services.
All right. So when would an athletic trainer fall primarily under HIPAA?
So that's going to come in play when you have an athletic trainer that's contracted or working for a hospital, a physician's office, a PT clinic, a healthcare organization that is billing for services. That's where things also get a little tricky because an athletic trainer could fall under HIPAA if they are working in a clinic and billing in the clinic, But if they then in the afternoons go out to a high school and are providing outreach coverage to a high school and are not billing for those services at a high school, then they could actually be falling under the FERPA guidelines. So theoretically, an athletic trainer who is working outreach could actually be working under both HIPAA and FERPA guidelines.
All right. So do they ever cross? Are you ever under both at the same time?
You would technically fall under both at the same time if you were billing for your services at the school. So if you worked for, you know, a PT clinic and you were providing rehab services at the school for the PT clinic and billing for those services, then yes, you'd be falling under HIPAA, but some of the stuff you do may fall under the FERPA guidelines as well. Another example would be if you are working at a high school, I'm sure you are a lot like I am, if you are providing care for coaches or for your teachers, those don't fall under FERPA guidelines. So technically then at that point, you're working under HIPAA guidelines. So in both cases, you could be working under both guidelines in some situations. Like I said, I'm big on, I'm going to take care of my coaches and teachers and admin at my school. I think that's a great PR service that we do, and why not help them, right? So technically when we're working on them, that's a HIPAA issue.
So FERPA is just pertaining to the students at the school, not just because it was done at the school.
Correct. Okay. It just pertains to the student records that are collected by the school.
Okay. All right. So then we're going to talk a little bit more about that. I know I saw that like Carrie Beth Williams was posting some of these ethical type questions. And one of them got me thinking is what if we are employed by the hospital working at the school? So I need to clear up, like, because one hospital system we use, they'll send us secure emails, but another one doesn't send us secure encrypted emails, right? And so if I'm communicating with the doctor, that's not FERPA, that's HIPAA. But if it's about the student that I'm working with, because I'm employed by my high school, about his injury that he attained at school, walk through that.
Things can get a little cloudy and a little milky at that point, right? Especially if you're doing outreach. I can communicate with my physicians, and from my end, that would be what I communicate with them as far as the information I give them would fall under FERPA because I'm employed by my school system. Now, the physicians that we work with, they would be falling under HIPAA guidelines. So it does get a little bit milky if you're working at an outreach and now you're communicating with physicians or somebody at the clinic. You probably could be falling under both at that point, to be honest with you. It's a little gray area there.
All right. So how do we stay out of trouble if you and me working for the school, we're just FERPA, we're not working through the hospital. How do we stay out of trouble, avoid violating FERPA rules?
So with FERPA, we are allowed to communicate student records and student information with other people at the school who are in charge of that athlete's or that student's safety. So for instance, there's no issue with us talking to a coach. There's no problem with us talking to the AD. Anybody that's involved with that team or responsible for that athlete safety in regards to playing for that team, we can communicate with them and talk to them and give them information. On the other hand, if we go to a teacher in the school building and they're not involved with, say, the football team, and we talk to them about a football player and his injury, now we've gone outside of our scope and outside of the FERPA guidelines because that teacher doesn't have any interest in that student's health as far as their situation with the football team. So that's why with FERPA and with athletic trainers in the high school, we can go talk to our coaches, we can go talk to the admin or anybody that has some sort of hand in that player's safety, and it's not a problem. If you step outside of that and start talking to school employees, you know, a teacher that's not a coach, or the lunch lady while you're going to picking up your lunch, now you've crossed those lines because that person doesn't have any vested interest in that athlete's safety.
All right, so clarify the vested interest a little bit more. So sometimes I'll get a middle school coach come up, watch one of their former players. Hey, what's wrong with so-and-so? He is a coach at the school district, not at the same school, but he's not currently involved with the team. So it was,
right. So by the rule of FERPA, we should not be communicating any information to that person. For instance, you know, I'll have coaches, you know, during this past football season, we had a couple of football players that got injured. I've had coaches from other teams, from our basketball team, that came and said, "Hey, what's going on with so-and-so?" Well, if that kid is also a basketball player, and maybe they're getting ready to try out for basketball, now I could talk to them. But if the softball coach and comes wants to talk to me about a football player and they have nothing to do with football, I can't talk to that coach about it. If it's a coach from my middle school that works in our same school district, and they don't work with our high school team, then no, I wouldn't be allowed to talk to that coach about any specifics of that injury.
All right. So what is your response to your softball coach that is asking about your football player? How do you respond to them?
You know, I'm just straightforward with them and saying, look, I can't give you any specifics. I can't talk to you about that. Now, on the other hand, if the athlete is right there, for instance, I've got an athlete that's out that has an injury that he can't play for the game, and the coach comes up and says something to me about it, and the athlete's right there. I mean, I'll tell him, look, if he wants to tell you what's wrong with him, he can. That's the athlete's right, and that's their privilege. But I can't give them any specific information, and I just tell them that I'm not allowed to speak to you about that.
Yeah, that's what I typically would say, is something like, you can ask him, right? You can ask him, or he can tell you about it, you know, because I'll get my students asking me, or other, hey, you know, what's wrong with him? Well, you can ask him. Again, if it's the football player hurts his knee, and so I'm telling the football coach or anybody related on the team, then, you know, like you just said, that should be okay because they're directly involved with that player.
Correct. It's the same, you know, we all have an athlete training room. We got multiple athletes in the athlete training room, and somebody got hurt on Friday night and they come in on Monday and there's another athlete in there and they say, well, what happened to so-and-so? Well, that question, you know, look, if they want to tell you what's wrong with them, they can, but I can't tell you what's wrong with them. And most of the time that athlete's going to turn to them and go, well, you know, I did this, and that's fine. That's their prerogative. But we as athlete trainers can't talk to that athlete because they're not involved in that athlete's safety.
Hey, that was kind of my next question. So you have the teammate, they are involved with the team, but they're not employed by the school. So discussing with them is not okay. But as long as the other person tells them, the injured athlete tells the buddy, then there's no problem because it's not you.
Right, exactly. I mean, if an athlete wants to tell another athlete what's wrong with them, if you as an individual, even if it was under HIPAA guidelines, you went to your doctor and you got diagnosed with whatever it was, and you wanted to go home and tell your best buddy what was wrong with you, that's completely within your rights. The same thing happens for those athletes. If they want to tell another athlete, if they want to tell that softball coach, if they want to, I mean, for all intents and purposes, if they want to tell the media what's wrong with them, they have that right. They can do it, but we are not allowed to give them any information.
All right. So I think we've covered FERPA, working specifically in the high school, sufficiently. If I have any more questions come up, I'll go there. All right. So let's go a little bit more into the athletic trainer who works for the hospital, the PT, the chiropractor, but works at the school all the time.
So if they're working at the school all the time, then the question becomes, are they billing for services? Now, I can tell you most of the athletic trainers in our area that are doing that are not billing for services that they provide at the school. Where it gets a little gray is some of the providers around here may charge that school a fee for that service. They may charge them a $5,000 fee or whatever it is. That gets a little gray because now technically the school has paid for that service. But you're not billing for individual services. You're not billing that person's health insurance for your services. So you would still be should still fall under FERPA guidelines at that point because you're not billing that patient's insurance and their health insurance for the services that you're providing. So if you are not billing for the services that you are providing, you still should be falling under FERPA guidelines while you're at the school.
All right, so even if the school district is paying, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 of your salary to the hospital or to your clinic, and then the clinic is paying you your full salary, then you're still not technically billing for your services, even though they are paying, and so therefore you should be falling completely under FERPA and not HIPAA.
From everyone I have talked to, from everyone thing I've been able to dig up, that's my understanding, yes, because it boils down to, are you billing for your services? Are you billing electronically? Are you billing the insurance company for the services that you are providing? And we are not. That's the school paying, you know, the PT clinic, paying the hospital, whatever it is, but you're not necessarily directly billing for your services. So it still should fall under FERPA. But again, it's a little bit of a gray area. I think most people are going to interpret it that way. But somewhere down the road, somebody may interpret that some other way. But from, like I said, from everybody I've talked to, all the research I've done, you're still under FERPA at that point.
All right. So then that athletic trainer working at the PT clinic or at, you know, at the hospital, getting paid completely by the hospital, but full time at the high school, they want to communicate with their doctors. Hey, you know, Johnny hurt his knee. I need him to come in and see you. So then he's working with HIPAA because he's communicating at the hospital level with the doctors, right?
Yeah, and like I said, that's a gray area, right? Because you are technically giving information from the school that is FERPA information, but you are communicating with a physician. Now, the thing with HIPAA is this, is that HIPAA is not designed to limit communication between healthcare providers when you have a common patient. Right, so you should be able to communicate about a common patient with another healthcare provider, and that's really not limited in any way by HIPAA. HIPAA can be sometimes misinterpreted, and some offices will take it that way. But if you read into it and you look at it, there's nothing in HIPAA that limits information being shared between providers when you're talking about a common patient. So even in that case, HIPAA allows. For common providers to discuss information. Now, you know, you wouldn't be able to go talk to another athletic trainer that's not providing care for that athlete. But if you're talking to another healthcare provider, the physician that, you know, you have an athlete that has an ACL reconstruction, and you go talk to that physician about it, or you talk to the physician about the injury before they have surgery, that's not a HIPAA, should not be a HIPAA violation, because you have a common patient and you are talking about that patient. So that should not be limited by HIPAA.
All right. So the key thing here is HIPAA is not supposed to be a limiting factor. You need to have a common patient, and with HIPAA, it needs to be medical providers. So Correct. Does that kind of summarize it?
Yeah. That's exactly it. Right. So we've got John Doe. That's my athlete. He tore his ACL. He's coming to see you because you're the physician providing your position that he is seeing, and you're going to be doing the ACL reconstruction. We should not be limited by HIPAA, or we are not limited by HIPAA, to communicate that patient and communicate back and forth. Now, like I said, some practices will do that, and they'll say that falls under HIPAA. But if you actually dig through it, there's nothing really there that limits that communication.
All right, and then let's look at the athletic trainer who works for the hospital and goes out and just covers occasionally at the school, but has maybe the Saturday injury clinic. Like, we have some free Saturday injury clinics. So you're not billing your services, but you're getting that high school student there that you work with at the school some. Like, you went to only the games, you know, at the stadium. So what are we working with there?
It's are you billing for services? You're providing a free service. You're not billing the athlete's health insurance. Gray area, but it shouldn't be limited by HIPAA because you're not billing for services. But again, that would be a gray area, because now that athlete has come into your practice, and it's something that a normal person would be paying for. I think to be safe, I would probably consider that a HIPAA situation and not communicate any information about that outside of, you know, healthcare providers. But that's a tough situation because you are providing a free clinic.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different situations. Cause I know, some of the athletic trainers I've spoken with are in that situation, is, you know, they only work the games or, per diem work. And then they have that free clinic to bring the athletes to the clinic. And so then they refer them on if need be or whatever. So there's just obviously a lot of confusion. And so again, yeah. FERPA, anytime you're working for the school, and it deals with the collection of records of students, not the administration or adults that you work with, but the collection of information of students. And then HIPAA is meant to protect the information, but not limit the communication of healthcare providers.
Correct. And, you know, as far as the free clinic thing, the other way you look at that, and this is why I say you need to be careful and probably follow that under HIPAA guidelines, is because, look, the reason for providing that free clinic is if they're injured, then your hope is that they then come see your doctor, or they come into the physical therapy clinic, and then you're going to be billing for those services. So you're really let's be honest, the reason for those visits is to make sure those athletes are taken care of, but then potentially getting them in to see the physician or see a physical therapist or coming in for rehab. So at that point, you're definitely under HIPAA guidelines. So that's why I'm saying that that free Saturday clinic is a little bit of a gray area, and to be safe, consider it HIPAA.
Gotcha. Okay. So I mentioned the secondary school's Facebook group, but anytime injury pics or any of that social media stuff, I take an injury, a picture of an injury. I don't show the kid's face, but it's a, you know, say a dislocated ankle, and I post that and I say, okay, the kid said I could post this picture, or I'm not showing a face. There's no details. What am I violating anything there?
Pictures get really tough. That's with social media and things progressing the way it is. It's tough to figure that out and what's legitimate and what's not. If it's part of the student's record at the school, it's definitely falling under FERPA, and you're not allowed to release that unless you have parent permission. Now, some schools will allow or have parents sign off saying that they're allowed to release certain information. So you might be okay there. You would certainly need to check with your school on that and find out if they have those releases. And then if they do, has that student signed off on those releases? Have that student and his parents or her parents signed off on that release saying, yes, that you're allowed to release images of my student or of my child. But just asking the child, to be honest with you, asking the child saying, hey, can I post this picture? It's not going to be enough, because look, 90% of the athletes we're dealing with are going to be minors. And unless you have their parents' permission, you can't be posting that.
All right. So rather than like bragging, like I'm seeking help. Hey, I've got this athlete with skin conditions. He told me I could post it to ask for help to see if anybody else knew. Is that still the same deal? If he's under eight, you know, if he's a minor and you don't have written permission from the parents, you're still in violation?
Gray area. The other discussion that people have is, what about like group photos, team photos, where you're not necessarily, sometimes teams will post photos and they may not put the roster up there, so they may not identify, so it's hard to identify who the person is. Is that legal? Is it not? Does that fall under FERPA? Does it not? I think most people would think that probably doesn't fall under FERPA guidelines, and you're okay to do that. As far as posting that and asking for advice, I think it's wise for everyone to be on the safe side and touch base with that parent and make sure it's okay with that parent to post things. You know, the last thing you want to do is have that parent come across something or somebody make a comment to a parent of a child saying, hey, I saw this online, and, you know, didn't your son dislocate his ankle? And I saw this picture of an ankle online that was dislocated and, you know, looked like it was wearing the same school colors. You just don't want to get yourself into that situation. So yeah, if you're going to post something like that, definitely make sure that you've got parent permission before you do that.
All right. So make sure you have written parent permission, before you post any of those things. So just by saying the words or typing it on Facebook, permission to post, it really is not going to hold up push come to shove.
No, just saying that isn't going to cover your butt at all. Written permission is what's going to keep you covered and make sure you're not going to be in trouble.
And there have definitely been cases, even in that closed group of secondary school athletic trainers, that parents or coaches or whatever have found out about something that was posted. Yeah, and people, I think someone even like lost their job because they posted something in this closed group, but somebody ratted them out, and then, you know, there you are. So it can definitely happen.
You know, the secondary school's Facebook page is great. There's a lot of resources there, and people can communicate and bounce ideas off each other. But I think some people forget that if it's online, even if it's a closed group, it's out there and it's public knowledge. And if you post something online, you got to assume that everyone is going to be able to see that.
All right. So what other issues have you seen in working with the high school setting in HIPAA or FERPA that we haven't covered yet?
So, you know, one thing I always take into account too is when we're out on the field and we're doing things, I worked with a physician and he has a saying that we live in a fishbowl society nowadays. So just remember that when you're out there doing things, somebody is in the stands on the sidelines, somebody's probably taking a video, somebody's probably taking a picture of it. So In those cases, if somebody posts a picture, somebody from the stands took a picture of you dealing with something on the sideline and things are identifiable, you didn't post it, you're good, but I certainly wouldn't go identifying anything or talking about it just because that image was posted. If it's public knowledge, that's fine. Someone else can post it, but that doesn't mean that it clears us and allows us to give out information.
All right. So if somebody gets hurt on the field, there's usually, you know, cameras and, you know, is often a story involved. And especially if it's a high profile school, then there's going to be, you know, Johnny was down, the athletic trainers were looking for him. If you're lucky, they say athletic trainers were looking at him for a while, took him over to the injury tent. If you're Mike Copper, then you have an injury tent, right? And then you go from there. So you're okay there because that doesn't have anything to do with what you didn't put it out there. But if you go comment on that article on Facebook and say, actually it was his ankle and not his knee, well, now you're in trouble.
Now you cross the line a little bit. Now you're giving out information that you shouldn't be giving out. Exactly. For us, for instance, we have a gentleman from the community that is a part-time photographer. He's at most of our games. He takes all kinds of pictures and he posts a lot of stuff online. He posts a lot of stuff on his website and on his Facebook page. And that's fine. He can do that. He's posted pictures of us dealing with an injured athlete on the field. But we are not going to go and put anything on any of those posts or do anything that's going to identify, you know, what happened. I'll be honest with you. I just, best rule of thumb, just leave those alone. If somebody posts it, that's great. Let them do it. But no comments, no information or anything like that.
Gotcha. All right. So there are 5 high schools in my district. There's 10 athletic trainers. I have an athlete that gets injured. And then I talk to one of them. They're employed by the school about an athlete that I have. So they're a healthcare provider, but they're not directly involved with that athlete. They are employed by the same school district, and I'm asking my advice. Is that potentially problematic?
Potentially, that's problematic. Yes, because they're not. I'm assuming that all these high schools have athletic trainers employed by the school, correct?
Yeah, we have 10 of us or 11 of us employed by the district.
So for those 11, yes, you guys will all fall under FERPA guidelines. But yeah, like you said, being as they're not employed by the school district, then there shouldn't be any, being as they're not in charge of that athlete's safety, there shouldn't be any conversations about specifics. Now you can talk about, you know, hey, if you had a ankle sprain and, you know, this wasn't working, what else have you tried? You could do something like that. But to say, hey, I've got this running back that just rolled his ankle and it looks like a high ankle sprain, I'm trying to figure out how to handle it or trying to figure out, do you have any advice? There you've given out some information that you probably shouldn't. Now, on the other hand, if one of their athletes was at your school playing and they injured themselves, well, now that line of communication should be open because now you're both taking care of that athlete if he got hurt at your place and the other athlete trainer isn't there. Or even if they are, and you both go out there and work on that athlete at that point, now that line of communication is open because now you're both involved and you're both in charge of that athlete's safety at that point. So that can change things a little bit if it's an athlete from another school that is playing at your place and gets hurt, and now that line of communication between you and the other athlete trainer are open.
All right. So along that same line, I have a kid that gets hurt here Tuesday night. I call the athletic trainer. Hey, you know, Johnny hurt his ankle in the basketball game. He wasn't able to continue playing, but he was able to walk. And so then at that point, should my communication end or is it okay for me to kind of continue to check up? Can we continue that communication even though my care for the athlete has ceased?
By rule, that communication should end at that point because after that athlete returns back to his home school and he's being taken care of by his athletic trainer, you're no longer in charge of that athlete's safety. Now, I think all of us will probably touch base with the athletic trainer and say, hey, how is so-and-so doing? Is he doing better? And I don't think anybody's going to fault them for saying, yeah, hey, he's doing great. He's recovering or, you know, this is what's happening. But to have conversations specifically about the injury or specifics about what's going on, now you've crossed the line a little bit. But to call and check up on them and say, hey, how is so-and-so doing? Are they, you know, did they recover? How's it going? And they say, yeah, he's doing great. He's back to playing or it's a couple weeks. He's going to be out, blah, blah, blah. That's general information. You're probably going to be fine. Start talking about specifics about the injury and, you know, where they are in the rehab and exact things that are going on, now you've crossed that line into you probably shouldn't be sharing that information.
All right. So a couple of tips from what I've gathered here. If you're not directly involved with the care, then you probably shouldn't be talking about anything specific. You should keep everything, I don't know if ambiguous is the right word, but keep specific details out, right?
Hey, ambiguous is a good way of putting it. Yeah. I mean, you know, leave things in general statements and be ambiguous. Yeah.
Right. And then if it's FERPA, you can communicate with administration or coaches that are directly involved with the care. And so the administration, so I got, you know, we have, I think, 5 assistant principals. One of them is in charge of athletics. I got one, if I have one kid on crutches for an ankle sprain. So now the nurse needs to know because he needs a pink pass. Right. And they're a healthcare provider. So again, I think we're okay there because it's all school records. But then The administration, he comes and asks me, the administrator comes and asks me about, you know, how's he doing? We're okay with it, with that, because they're within the school and they're responsible for that data collection.
For athletics. Right. So for instance, like my AD is in charge of the coaches, and he's going to be in charge of the safety of our athletes as well. Right. He has a vested interest in that, in making sure that the athletes are safe when they go on the field, make sure that the field is safe for them to play on. So the AD, the athletic, our athletic director, has a vested interest in the health of our athletes. On the other hand, my ninth grade administrator, who doesn't deal with athletics at all, really doesn't have any direct relationship as far as that athlete's safety. So that would be just like me going and talking to the math teacher about somebody that got hurt at football. We really shouldn't be discussing with them, because, you know, that's not something that they're directly involved in.
Okay. All right. So again, people who are directly involved, who have a need to know, keep details ambiguous. If you're working with minors at a school, you're probably dealing with FERPA. If you're billing for services, you're probably dealing with HIPAA. But there's still a good bit of overlap if you're communicating with doctors about one of your high school students.
Right. And the overlap especially comes in for us that are employed by the schools. The overlap comes in that the physicians are going to be working under HIPAA guidelines, and we're going to be working under FERPA guidelines. So, you know, there's a big overlap there, but even then, we're communicating with the physician. They're the ones working under the HIPAA guidelines, and we still fall under FERPA at that point. The only reason that HIPAA would be involved as far as the athletic trainer goes is if the athletic trainer is employed by the hospital or whatever entity is providing that coverage. And now they're away from the school, and there's times when they're billing for services. So now you could be dealing with HIPAA and FERPA. But like I said, for us that are employed by the schools, yes, we're almost always going to be under FERPA guidelines when we're dealing with our student athletes and we're dealing with their information.
All right. Another situation, like you said, physicians dealing with patients away from their schools. So I'm on the sidelines. I have a kid with a knee injury at the football game. His mom comes down, stands at the edge of the stands. I communicate with her, but it's not an isolated area. So, you know, there's other students and friends kind of standing around. Am I giving information to them, or is it just that they're eavesdropping and I'm not responsible for that?
That's a tough situation. For me, I'm always going to try to pull that parent as best as possible. I'm going to pull that parent off to the side and give them information in as much of a private area as you can do. Now, I understand there's going to be times when you might not be able to do that. And if that's the case, you just have to try to be as discreet as possible. You know, if somebody is eavesdropping on your conversation with the parents and you're doing everything you can to control who is hearing that information, you're going to be in good shape. Now, if you go over the fence and, you know, you're screaming to the parent that's 5 rows up into the stands and telling them what's going on, well, now you're not really doing what you can to protect that patient's, that athlete's privacy. But like I said, if you call them over to the fence and you're being discreet and you're talking to just that parent and somebody comes over and hears what's going on, you're probably going to be fine. Now, if it's obvious that somebody's coming over there and trying to listen on what's happening, I've asked people to step away so I can have a conversation with their parents. That's completely fine. But if you're trying to be discreet and you're doing everything you can and you're making the best effort to control who's hearing it, you're going to be fine. I think we all realize that at games, it can be hard sometimes to find some private place to talk to parents. And at that point, you just have to do your best.
All right. I think that's all the questions I have now. Obviously, there's lots of nitpicky situations we could come up with. But there's one thing, you know, Dragonfly Max is an injury tracking software, and one of their things is they're HIPAA compliant and FERPA compliant, and so when we're using those types of softwares, we use Rank One Sport here at my school. What are your thoughts there? Things that we need to really be careful with?
Yeah, you know, we use Athletic Trainer System here at Marietta. The big thing you have to be concerned about is making sure that they are HIPAA compliant or FERPA compliant. I've seen some out there that are not, that their encryption isn't what it needs to be. The newest part of that is high tech compliant. That goes along with the storing of medical records online and accessing them via the web and things like that. So as long as those software companies are working with someone or have done what they need to do to make sure that they're HIPAA and FERPA compliant, then you're good. What I think you have to be careful of there is, let's say you've got your computer sitting in your office, or you've got your computer out in the athletic training room, and you've got the software up and it's available for everyone to see. Now you've probably left information out there. It's not supposed to be out there, right? But if you secure your computer and, you know, you walk away from your computer and you close the Dragonfly Max, or you close Rank One down and nobody can see it, and the only way they can open it back up is to know your password, you're completely good. I think the only way you get into trouble there is like I said, your computer's accessible to people who shouldn't have that information, and you haven't closed that down, or you haven't, your computer isn't shut down to where it needs a password to log on. Now you've opened yourself up a little bit, but as long as you're avoiding those situations, for the most part, most of the reputable EMRs are HIPAA and FERPA compliant, and you're going to be fine.
All right. And then people who are still using the paper and pencil sign-in sheet.
That's been a topic of conversation a couple of times on the secondary school's Facebook page. I always advise against it, because now you're putting information out there where other people can see it. That wouldn't be a whole lot different than you know, kids that bring in a doctor's note or something like that, and you leave their physical or their doctor's note laying around the athletic training room, and everybody that can walk by can see what's going on. Are you giving specifics there? No, but if that athlete is signing in and they sign that sheet, they put their name and they put what body parts injured and what they're doing for treatment, that's medical information. That's part of their student record at that point. And you're leaving that out there for all the other athletes to see, or a parent that walks in the athletic training room and the sign-in book is sitting right there. Now you've got that, a parent of another athlete could see what, you know, five other athletes are doing or what their injury is. I think that's a bad situation. And I think with the technology that's out there today, I think you are putting yourself in a bad situation if you are still using that.
All right. And then you'd mentioned having doctor's notes out. So currently we get a doctor's note. We scan it and we enter it into Rank One, but it sits in like a desk file holder until we get to filing it in the file cabinet. So are we possibly violating privacy there? If it's, because our athletic training room is one big room, there's no office, so we can't really secure anything, and it's not realistic to file a doctor's note every single time it's given to us right then, right? We have to manage it, or we have to be able to get to it quickly and see, okay, because there was also the specifics on what you're due. So is there something different we need to do it in our office?
I guess the question there becomes, who has access to that file? Who has access to that folder? You know, if do you have a desk in that room, or you have an area where you have your stuff and you know, nobody else is going to it, I think you're going to be fine. If it would be nice to have something where that could be secured, even if it's a small file cabinet that has a lock on it. For instance, here's what will go through my mind. Who cleans the athletic training room at night? And if that information is left in the athletic training room at night, and let's say the janitors come in, do the janitors have access to that? So, I mean, that maybe some people might say that, hey, that's looking at worst case scenario. But I think a lot of times in our profession, we are preparing for the worst and hoping for the best. So, you know, if you have a situation like that, if you're filing it at the end of every day and you're putting into a secured area at the end of every day, and you're not allowing other people to access it while they're in the athletic training room, you're probably going to be fine. I would think if it is being left in the athletic training room overnight or for multiple days, I would want to have some way to secure that. Like I said, even if it's a one or two drawer file cabinet that has a lock on it that you could lock as you walk out at the end of the night. I think that would be better than just leaving it there if it's going to be in there for multiple days.
Yeah, that's definitely just one of those things you don't think about. I mean, they have a key to the door, so, you know, are they really, is it really a problem? But, you know, like you said, the janitor, they don't have any vested care in the athlete, so they really shouldn't be looking at their medical records there.
For us here, my office is not accessible by our custodians. It is on a separate system from our master lock system. So even with the master key, you cannot get into my office. So everything that's left in my office is only accessible to me and to my two assistant athletic trainers. We're the only ones that have keys to the office. My AD has a key. But other than that, people cannot get in my office. So everything is secured as long as it's in my office at night, whatever it is. But yeah, if you're leaving things out in the athletic training room, custodians would be the ones I would be worried about. Or even, not that most coaches would do it, but some coaches might. Let's say a coach has access to your athletic training room and they come in, they're looking for you know, something on their athlete because you may not be there that morning, or they may have come in late at night after a game or after a practice. Now, all of a sudden, if they start going through files and they start seeing things, technically that would be a violation.
All right. Yep. So I think I got some work that I need to do here. Just making sure I put the physicals away, the doctor's notes away more promptly. And I don't believe we got new filing cabinets because some other people moved, like got rid of them. But I don't think we have a key for the lock. And so there's some work we need to do. I know we have a locksmith here on campus, not on campus, at for our district. So I'll see what I can do about getting them to get us some lock or keys for those locks and just be more diligent about putting those papers away. So.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. I think all of us, when we're busy in the athletic training room, I think all of us probably slip up and you know, maybe lay something down where we shouldn't or don't get it secured right away the way we should. And I think it happens. We all can probably do better in certain areas. And look, I mean, we do the same thing here sometimes. Something might be left where it shouldn't be visible. But I think you know, we just all need to reevaluate what we're doing sometimes and try to stay on top of things.
All right, so. We have student athletic trainers or student trainer aides, and they're in there in the athletic training room with us. So we're teaching them about the injury, about the profession. I have a kid who's, say, sliced his elbow open, and I say, okay, hey, y'all come look at this. And then, you know, we discuss it afterwards. Yeah, he had to go get stitches, and here was the problem. Is that a problem as well? Because they're not involved in his care, but it's part of the teaching.
It's part of their education. Right. Yeah. That's a really tricky situation. We're the same way. I mean, I have over 30 kids in our program, so we do the same thing. If somebody gets hurt, you know, we'll teach them whatever they want to know and tell them whatever they want to know. The conversation we have with all of our kids is anything that happens here, anything you see here, is not discussed outside the door of the athletic training room or off the practice field. It's only discussed here. What I tell them is, look, other students are going to ask you what happened, what's wrong with so-and-so, you know, what's going on with them. What I usually tell them is, look, tell your friends, I don't know. Even if you know, just tell them, I don't know. Because if those kids tell them, well, I can't tell you, look, some kids are going to be, oh, come on, man, you can tell me, you know, it's okay. It's not a big deal. So if they tell them, I don't know, then usually they'll leave them alone. Are we allowed to do that? That's a really good question. And you know, I guess technically if push came to shove, no, I don't know. That would be a tough one. And I'm going to do a little more digging on that. And I may have to get back to you on that one. Because in theory, no, we shouldn't be explaining that stuff to them. Now, the other thing I will do if I'm dealing with that athlete, I will ask that athlete, hey, can we bring the students over here? Can we show them this? Can we do this? So I think that certainly is a big part of it, and that will help cover you, but you also haven't talked to the parent at that point. So it's a gray area. I'm going to do a little more digging on that one, but I think you're safe as long as you're having that discussion with the athlete. You know, can we teach them? Can we use this as a teaching moment? 9 times out of 10, that athlete's going to say yes, and I think you're fine. But yeah, it's in theory, it's not allowed.
All right. So again, common sense, protection, privacy. Have it in writing if you're working with a minor. Make sure that's in writing with a parent. You know, I've texted parents before and say, hey, you know, can I do this with your kid? Or this is kind of what's going on. So then I have that text record, right? Even yep. If it, you know, for me, that's better than a phone call. Because
that or an email.
Yeah, that or a text or an email. And I know that that's not like a secure messaging center, but I do have it from the parent in writing. So it's better than nothing, I think. So.
Right. Yep, I agree.
All right. Any other thoughts on HIPAA, FERPA, as far as it relates to athletic trainers?
I think we've covered most of it, unless somebody else has a question.
I don't see any questions right now, but it's always hard for me to, let me see.
Scott asked about MPI numbers and communication with team docs. We kind of talked about the team doctor communication. You know, the MPI numbers really come into play largely when you're talking about billing. But we certainly are encouraging everyone to get MPI numbers, because that helps us identify how many athletic trainers we have out there and how many people we have providing care. So that can help us in other areas than just billing. So I understand a lot of people look at it as a billing issue, and if I don't bill, I don't need an MPI number. But there's other benefits to having that MPI number, so that we can show numbers of athletic trainers out there, and that can help us in other areas. So I would certainly encourage everyone to have their MPI number.
All right. Kids talk about the injuries all the time. All right, so Josh is watching, and I think we covered that. He said the kids talk about the injuries all the time. So as far as long as a kid talking about it, it's their injury. They can tell the whole world. Like you said, they can get to the press there. You talked about Scott Arsenault over there in Louisiana talking about the MPI number.
We had an athlete at a local high school here, highly recruited, injured in a football game, actually tweeted out pictures of his x-ray. And look, if he wants to do that, that's absolutely fine. He can do that. On the other hand, we had one of my athletes here that was injured, and out for a significant part of the season. And, none of the injury information was ever released, even from his parents or from that athlete. They just didn't feel they wanted to do that. So you'll see both sides of the spectrum, giving out all the information that they can. And then other people just don't want that information out there. That's going to be up to the parent and the athlete.
All right. Very good. Jeff, I think it's very helpful, and it's probably something we're gonna have to kind of continue to come back to. I know this conversation will help me, and it'll help you. Obviously, you have something more to look forward to about discussing the injury with the kids as we're teaching, and then we can kind of continue the conversation. And so, again, Dragonfly Max hosted me at the NATA convention, and so I know that their HIPAA, FERPA, and the people that use them all the time really, really like them. And so if you're looking for an EMR, like electronic management record, ERM, whatever it is, then I would give them a shot. I'd give them a look. So Dragonfly Max, look them up there. It's primarily an app, so you can look in one of your app stores and check them out there. Jeff, somebody wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
Either by my email, that's probably gonna be the best way. And will you post that, or how do you want me to do that? Or?
Yeah, you can go ahead and say it here, and I'll have it in the show notes as well.
Okay, so email is jhop@marietta-city.k12.ga.us. Unfortunately, it is not a short one. So again, that's jhop@marietta-city.k12.ga.us.
All right, and so this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/HIPAA, which is a lot easier to remember than getting all that right from Jeff. All right, Jeff, if you were going to point someone to a resource other than this podcast about HIPAA and FERPA, where would you point them?
I've got a couple websites that I could post if you want me to, that have some really good information.
All right.
And I can send that to you and let you get that posted up along with this.
That'll work. I'll do so. Again, check out the show notes here, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/HIPAA, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/HIPAA, where we've spoke with Jeff Hopp out there at Marietta High School. He's also had several different experiences, so maybe you want to, he knows how to do the video call, so if you want to do a Google Hangout with him and talking about his European or NFL football experience as an athletic trainer, then it might be good for doing a video call into one of your classes. Jeff, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for being on the Sports Medicine Broadcast, and hopefully at one of the conventions, I'll get to meet you in person.
I appreciate the opportunity. It's good stuff, man. Thank you very much.
All right. So for Jeremy, Jeff, the Sports Medicine One Kids, that is a wrap. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.